At the eye of the storm created by James Whitey Bulger's announcement that he'll testify at his own trial is the judge in the case, Richard Stearns. Bulger, who's charged with 19 murders, wants Stearns to step down. The judge has emphatically refused, and this week Bulger's attorney, J.W. Carney, shot back.
Our client believes that he will get fairer consideration on the issue of immunity from a jury than he will from the person who was the head of the Criminal Bureau of the United States Attorney's Office in the 80s.
At issue is whether Stearns' impartiality might reasonably be questioned. Stearns says it can't, but a nationally recognized expert on judicial ethics tells WBUR that Stearns should step down because of the appearance of bias. WBUR's David Boeri reports.
There are two tests for deciding whether a judge should disqualify or recuse himself from a trial. Does the judge have a bias? That's the first test. The second is whether a reasonable person might question his impartiality. In the 1980s, Judge Richard Stearns was a top-ranking prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office here in Boston. Why might that matter?
He was part of the Justice Department in that office at the very time that the worst of the scandal was taking place,
says law professor Monroe Friedman of Hofstra University. Consider that scandal and what makes James Whitey Bulger different from your average accused multiple murderer.
Informants committed murders with impunity. Killers were tipped off so they could flee before being arrested. Local investigators of murders and drug dealing and arms smuggling were compromised.
Murders, violence, corruption of FBI agents, and government stonewalling, all while Bulger was a prized and protected informant. U.S. Congressman Dan Burton called the FBI's secret use and protection of Whitey Bulger one of the greatest failures in the history of law enforcement. Here's how one out-of-state detective described it at one of Burton's congressional hearings.
I had never been exposed to such a cesspool of dirt and corruption.
Three letters are stamped onto the Bulger case like the brand on a steer, FBI. The revelation of the scandal prompted public outrage and continuing distrust of the Justice Department. Stearns points out that he worked in a separate section of the U.S. Attorney's Office and had nothing to do with the independent organized crime section that dealt with Bulger. Stearns says he never had any knowledge of any case or investigation involving Whitey Bulger.
That is much too subtle a distinction for the public and certainly for the skeptic,
says Monroe Friedman. He's a renowned pioneer in the field of judicial and legal ethics and an advisor to the Department of Justice. He says the appearance problem makes the verdict on Stearns not even close.
I think the judge should have recused himself at the outset. That's what should have happened.
Congress and the Supreme Court have made the test for recusal a very broad one, Friedman explains. Their intent was to minimize the public's suspicions and doubts about judges. Under the judicial code, the appearance of bias is just as important as the reality. Friedman says Stearns has made a mistake in overlooking that.
For a judge to write an opinion and ignore the two Supreme Court cases on the statute that he's discussing, in itself very telling.
In those two cases, Friedman says,
the Supreme Court has referred to the reasonable person as both a member of the public and a skeptic.
So the test in this case is whether the public or skeptics might question...
Might
question whether Stearns is impartial. So ask yourself, after 20 years of investigative reports, books, movies, congressional inquiries, Bulger's years of success avoiding capture, and the hearings that blew the cover off Bulger's relationship with the FBI, might you have doubts or suspicions that a judge who worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office at the time can be impartial? When Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly recently polled its readers, almost all lawyers, 55% of respondents said Stearns should have recused himself. In other words, a majority had doubts.
God save the United States of America, so on to the court. The court is open and in session. Please be seated.
Another, perhaps more substantial issue for Stearns that may rise to a possible conflict of interest concerns his close, longtime friendship with Robert Mueller, the director of the FBI.
the FBI is implicated here.
WBUR presented Friedman with accounts from former and current associates of the two men about their close friendship. Mueller is said to have dined at Stearns' home during his travels to Boston, and when Stearns was initially picked by President Clinton to become director of the FBI, according to reports of the time, one associate recalls the talk that Stearns would bring Mueller to Washington as his deputy. In 2006, when Judge Stearns was the honoree at a ceremony to unveil his commissioned portrait, Mueller and his wife flew to Boston as honored guests. Mueller was a featured speaker.
I am indeed honored to be a part of the ceremony and honored to count as a friend and a mentor.
Friend and mentor. Judge Stearns reciprocated. He called Mueller's attendance the greatest tribute that a friend could pay. It is on public servants like
Mueller. Safety and preservation is a nation's gems.
And we could be in no better hands, said Stearns. Ask yourself, Friedman says, whether a reasonable man, you the public, or a skeptic, might question whether Judge Stearns would be partial regarding Robert Mueller in the FBI.
The matter is today an embarrassment to the FBI.
And that creates the appearance problem.
That's exactly right.
Judge Stearns has a reputation for integrity and hard work. No one is accusing him of wrongdoing or misconduct. Though Stearns declined to characterize the extent of his friendship with Mueller, he provided a copy of the DVD of that 2006 ceremony.
All persons have anything to do before the Honorable Judges.
In his sharp-toned refusal to recuse himself, Stearns writes that because he was randomly selected to preside over this case, there shouldn't be any suspicion he's partial.
Well, in fact, the truth is he was handpicked,
says civil libertarian and attorney Harvey Silverglade. There were two criminal cases against Bulger when he was arrested last summer, one before Chief Judge Mark Wolf, the other in front of Judge Stearns.
It was the U.S. Attorney's Office that decided to dismiss the case in front of Chief Judge Wolf and to proceed in the case before Judge Stearns. He wasn't randomly selected. Judge Stearns was hand-picked by the U.S. Attorney's Office to be the judge.
The U.S. Attorney's Office may have had good reasons, but Bulger's first attorney accused it of judge shopping to get the case away from Wolf. Remember, it was Judge Wolf whose hearings in the 1990s turned over the rocks of the government's secret relationship with Bulger and found not just the worms, but the maggots. It was Wolf who concluded that far from being a case of a few bad apples, the Bulger case involved dozens of officials engaged in various forms of misconduct. Now that the government, in effect, has chosen Stearns instead of Wolf, those who've had good reason to doubt the Justice Department before are doubting it again. Harvey Silverglade.
Judge Stearns is in danger of appearing to the public to be part of a cover-up, even if he isn't. That's the problem.
With Bulger's attorney, J.W. Carney, now openly saying the jury will be fairer to Bulger than Stearns, Stearns' profile and his impartiality are likely to gain more scrutiny. A law clerk for Judge Stearns responded last week that under the rules of judicial conduct, Stearns is prohibited from discussing an active case. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.